much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses. So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
You really want to go there?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
How do I know?
Because you know people that she knew. I don't know people that she knew.
I don't know.
I really think that the show is a gift to society.
Good job, man.
And now,
the less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people.
Our feature presentation.
I think this gift is a show. No, I think this show is a gift.
Yes.
To society.
Yes.
It is.
I need to rehearse
that.
I need to get that down. You know?
And then, as Veen said, really all of humanity.
Welcome, party people, to an all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday, the 1st of February, Ola. By the way, I discovered right at the tail end of that last song there that Psycho Mike's actually mad at me today, which I don't remember that ever happening before.
Oh, please. He's always, everyone's mad at you, always. But
it's
I don't
not Psycho
know
Mike. Psycho
about.
Mike's my boy.
He is sort of a mini Bean. That's true. He's sort of like you in a lot of ways.
Are you really mad at me, Psycho Mike?
Yeah.
No, are you really mad at me, Psycho Mike?
I'm not really mad at any of you guys ever, but I do think that you pulled a douche move.
Oh, all right. What was the douche move? All right, well, let's have this out then. Let's let the kids decide.
Some hot Latina emailed me a link yesterday to, I guess, Latina Magazine has like an online poll every week of like who is your like Latin man crush of the week. And one of the choices this week was me.
All right.
So I was like,
Mark
Consuelos
2.0, as you're now known.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. So I took that link, copied it, and then emailed it in a private fashion to Bean and to you, I think, and to like Alex. Bean goes immediately to Twitter and goes, hey, I'm Mike Catherwood. I Google myself and like to show off. And then tweet and then puts the link. And I was like, what? Clearly, if I wanted this to be public, I would have done
you
that myself. Yeah.
I wrote, I'm Mike Catherwood, and I spend my time Googling myself, then emailing links to my friends. Oh, look what I found. And then I put the link up to, hey, look how dreamy I am because Latinas are crushing on me this week.
And because the basis of that was essentially who's dreamy, I thought it would be very douchey to do that, to put it on Twitter.
Right.
So I was then subsequently very angry at Bean for putting it on Twitter, which is something I didn't want to do.
To make you look bad.
Yes.
All right, let's get a vote from the room. Lisa?
Douche.
Well, who now?
Bean.
Mike or Bean?
Bean.
Kevin?
All right, I'm going to go with obviously douche, but but funny.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have to be a douche to be funny.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No.
So I think that it was definitely a douchey thing to do, but it was also semi-douchey for you to send it out. So at that point now, a little bit.
If someone's going to send that to me, and then I send it to two people in an email,
right?
I think it's far
it's
less.
It's a little bit douchey.
I think Mike loaded the gun for me, put it in my hand, and put my finger on the trigger. Is what I think.
You didn't
now
have any
he's
choice.
Now he's surprised that I pulled the trigger. Come on, I mean, he handed it to me, right? It would be like him coming in and whispering to you, "Hey, don't tell anybody, but Dave's wearing panties today."
Yeah,
it would be just like that. What could you do with that information?
At that point, my hands are tied. I have to act.
Dave may be wearing panties today. I'm not sure, but I mean, you'd have to do something.
Yes,
right.
Who sends that link to anyone?
Well, that was my point. Is it a little?
If it exists, you try your desperate best not to let anyone know that ever existed. You bury it. You print it out and then you bury it, and then you find the server that it's on, and you find that and you bury it.
Especially in this group, you know whatever happens is going to be used against you. You know that going in.
But I thought it could have been used for comedy. I agree with Bean. And the
it
fact
was
that
used for comedy.
It sure was.
It was hilarious.
No, but I mean, even just
like a bit.
The idea of someone sent, when someone sent it to me, I read it and I laughed out loud.
Right.
Because it's a picture of me next to Wilmer Valderrama.
Right.
That alone is comedy, even if there's no poll. So I just emailed it to me because I thought it
funny.
But
you're on a pole?
I am on a pole. I'm on a boat. And I thought that was funny just in general, just the fact that there was first off, I was blown away that there's a pole for strictly for Latin men geared towards Latin women. And then just the whole thing was funny.
Yeah.
I wasn't like seething with anger. I just thought it was a douche move for him to then go and spin it as if I'm now going around town promoting it.
It was, but it was quite funny.
Yeah.
And I'm upset I didn't think of it.
All right. I see the comedy.
Well, he knew better not to send it to you. What are you kidding?
He said he did. I'm going to check. Make sure.
I think I might have sent it to you. Really? I don't remember.
All right, now you're an idiot.
It was a select few.
Well, apparently the wrong select few if you didn't want it to get out.
I'm saying Bean did the responsible thing. It may have been a little douchey, but his hands were tied. You forced his action.
And there's a little, hey, look at me, if you're sending it out to anybody. Anybody, for any reason. There's a little, hey, look at me. Let me get this.
People love me.
If you're going to play that play, you know, sometimes you're going to get stuffed on the goal line.
Yeah, no, I
don't know what that means.
Is he running up the middle on that play?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. All right.
If you didn't want to get wet, they shouldn't have put you in the water or something like that. I'm not sure how that goes.
Bruce Willis says.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, check out my Twitter, or I'm sure now Mike is going to be tweeting it too, because he wants all the ladies to know how yummy he is.
Hey, Bean, send it to me.
I am crushing. I will say that.
Send it to me. What?
I am crushing in that poll.
All right.
but you don't want anyone to know that, right?
No, but now that you're throwing it out there, I will say I'm impressed that...
you might as well give the results.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's mostly Latin men who are voting for me more than Latin women, but that's fine. Valderrama gets crushed.
Yeah.
See, he's not really that upset.
No, not at all.
No.
This is his way of saying, oh, stop, don't tell everybody how pretty I am. Oh, Bean, how could you? I'm so embarrassed at my good looks.
I'm angry at you for that.
Then in turn, I didn't bring it on the air. So don't, you know, like, if you're the one who wants to air this out on the air, it's not my fault. And
well, all I know is you were yelling at me when the song ended, and I thought, now what's going on here? So, all right, we'll move on.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, I wouldn't open with that.
Well, that's how we always open, so I thought maybe we would. We're going to take a look at Daniel Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his stuff is very funny. He does something called a web redemption, which is fantastic. And I believe it was last week. I don't remember. I get him confused because I watch him a lot. The guy that was dancing in the street got hit by the ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him a web redemption, which it means he brings him out to Los Angeles, and then he gives him another shot at it, so he can make his video without getting run over by an ice cream truck. And you will.
And by the way, go ahead.
You won't believe what this guy says.
Yeah, and here's my whole thing. The guy who was dancing in the street to make his friends laugh and got hit by an ice cream truck is just like Antoine Donson, who gets interviewed on the news after someone tries to attack his sister. Once they're on TV one time, or in the case of the ice cream truck guy, a YouTube viral internet video, they believe they have a career in entertainment.
Yeah.
That is a universal with everyone who gets touched by fame for 5 minutes. They go, well, that's it. Now I'm a singer. Now I'm a rapper. Now I'm a dancer. Now I'm an actor. They feel like now they have a career, and it's their job to pursue it.
The rocket has taken off, and now they're going into space, and this is the rest of their lives is just going to be a crazy ride of fame.
So the stupid guy who gets hit by a truck because he's in the street now has an entire career planned out of how he's going to live the rest of his life because of that moment.
And can I tease you with this? He sued the guy that was driving the ice cream truck.
Really?
Sued the guy that was driving the ice cream truck. And he was out in the middle of the road dancing.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Really annoying.
And Daniel Tosh says, that's good. No one sues anymore. Also on today's show, we are going to discuss the fact that Superman is not American. And that seems to be rubbing some people the wrong way, as he has been considered an American superhero for quite some time.
Even though a naturalized American, not a born American.
Right, of course, because he wasn't born here.
But he wasn't born there.
He wasn't born there either, right?
Yeah.
But apparently the British now are all the superheroes. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Christian Bale's Batman? I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
We have the GM of the Lakers, Jeannie Buss.
Nice.
Also the daughter of Jerry Buss. So we're going to talk to her on today's show about her book. We are going to give away some tickets to the Big Four, which, of course, is Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. Going to give away some tickets for that, so you'll have a chance to win a 4-pack today. You were there when a place got robbed.
Hey, that happened to me.
That happened to Bean. Bean was actually in a 7-Eleven when a guy came in with a gun.
Oh,
yep.
Scary.
And then Bean used his karate and did a full roundhouse kick and knocked the gun right out of the guy's hand and then
choked him out.
Really? Is amazing. That's how that happened?
Or I hit behind the Frito-Lays. One of the two.
The ho-hos. Tried to make 6'7" Bean tried to make himself tiny. So that's coming up, and you will not believe some of the products that they're trying to market for this royal wedding.
Oh, God.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
It is obnoxious. And we've lost Bean to the dark side. And I know that we've said that a lot.
What?
In the past. But what we're going to tell you today will shock you. And if you've formerly liked us and or Bean, you will not any longer.
Aww.
So that's coming up as well.
How dare you.
We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. We're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 548.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I have some tickets to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a comedy called Cedar Rapids. Happens on Thursday, February the 10th. This comedy was a smash hit at the Sundance Film Festival a couple weeks ago. It'll be in theaters everywhere on February 11th, but if you'd like to see it a day early and attend the special advanced screening, call now 1-800.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. It looks very funny. Ed Helms from The Office stars in it, along with John C. Reilly and Anne Heche and Sigourney Weaver. Great cast. And from the trailer, I laughed hard, so I'm hoping it is as good as it looks.
I've not seen a good movie.
Okay.
I've not seen Ed Helms in one thing that I didn't like him in. Doesn't matter what he's in. It's just
all of the things he's done, all of the hundreds of movies he's made.
He hasn't made that many.
Every one of them, huh?
He's great.
All right. I think this movie's a gift to society. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Man, I seen that movie too, and I fell asleep on it.
David Arquette is out of rehab. He says he's a changed person. He's committed to sobriety. He now realizes things got completely out of control. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell that to your wife, Courtney Cox, the next time you're on the phone with her. Try to explain what happened when you told the world that you were banging girls over at the Roosevelt Hotel. But, honey, I was...
It didn't mean anything.
You know how it is when you have issues. Can I come home now? We'll see. Speaking of rough relationships, we got to talk to this woman. New book is out just in time for Valentine's Day. It's written by a woman named Marcia Garcia Kalb. She wrote a new book called 101 Ways to Torture Your Husband.
Oh, like that needs to be written.
Yeah. Marry him first. That's the first way. Contains ways to get under your husband's skin, like drinking his last beer in the fridge, putting up his favorite sports memorabilia on eBay, or burying the TV remote in the backyard. This woman's a winner. She's a champ.
Bitter, party of one.
I'll tell you. Who hurt her?
Don't women know all of these things innately? I mean, you don't have to teach a lion how to hunt, right? It's just it's ingrained into you.
I guess she just wanted to put it down on paper. So there's 101 ways that your wife can torture you.
Must be therapy for going through a bad divorce or something.
Not this one. I'm 95. Yeah.
She had to pare it down. Her editor had to pull back about 900 other ways that she had.
We can't print 1,000 pages.
Look,
of this.
It's got to be 101. That's a cool number for books. People buy that number. 1,001 is just too intimidating.
Name the book, Who Hurt You, Lady?
Casey Jordan is still talking about Charlie Sheen and the evening she spent with him at his palatial home before he went off to the hospital and then consequently rehab. Now she's telling anyone who will listen. I saw her on the E! News last night that she did a sit-down interview. She was on Good Morning America and did a sit-down interview.
This is the porn star that TMZ interviewed right outside his house, right?
Yeah. This is the porn star he wrote a check for $30,000 to. What does it cost to buy your silence, Casey?
$30,000 is just...
You know how many... You have to... As a porn star to make $30,000?
It's a big number.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You did it just for showing up, doing some blow and drinking. Anyway, she's saying now that Charlie's teeth are falling out because of all his partying ways.
Oh.
Yeah. She said apparently he kept complaining about his new set of porcelain caps and veneers they had to put on because apparently his teeth are rotting away from all the drugs and alcohol.
God.
Wow, that's ugly.
Yeah. She's a find.
Wow.
You should write a book, 101 Ways to Torture the Guy Who Gave You $30,000. Okay. A lot of blow.
I'm with you. How much would it take for her to just be silent about it?
Rihanna may be bisexual.
Yeah!
Now we're getting somewhere.
Young model named Taja Burton
tells a British tabloid, the London Sun, that she carried on a lengthy affair with Rihanna.
Oh, that's tight.
And the two of them had an amazing connection. Said they had an affair while on vacation together.
All right.
For a lengthy period of time. She said it was hard because of Rihanna's busy career, but their favorite things to do were just to sit in bed and order food.
That's so hot.
Watch TV and just never leave the bed.
The salute to tuna.
Sometimes good news comes out of the...
No kidding.
The internet. David Hasselhoff, oh, he's just the man. He just always delivers. He never disappoints.
Now what?
He is got a gig judging Britain's Got Talent. He's filming that over in the UK.
It's so funny that he in any world would be a judge of talent. Come on.
It just goes to show you really don't need to have any to comment on it. Look at me. So it was taking place in Scotland where these auditions were. So he showed up wearing a kilt. Apparently people on set were complaining he kept lifting it up.
Hey, check this out.
Hey, the Hoff loves to rock. With his kilt up. And Eminem is adding his name to the long list of stars. He'll be making an appearance during the Super Bowl. He'll be in a new commercial.
No kidding.
Do you remember the old Lipton iced tea commercials that used to be animated with the claymation? Where they would do a claymation figure of a celebrity and the celebrity would voice it. But the whole thing would be done in black and white claymation.
I know, but I've seen that.
Stallone had one where he played Rocky, and there's been a bunch of them. Most recently, they did one with Machete with Danny Trejo. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Eminem is going to be claymated in a new commercial for Lipton, and apparently he is scoring $1 million.
Just wow.
Just to voice it and allow them to use his image. So,
wow.
That ain't too shabby. Kings of Leon are not only fighting with Glee, but they've canceled their upcoming concerts in South Africa and Australia. The band's official website says that Nathan needs more time to recover from the surgery he had on a torn bicep last month. That's bad if you're a drummer, by the way.
No
a
kidding.
Torn bicep.
You're rocking too hard.
Nathan says he hopes to be fully healed in time for King's headlining gig at Coachella on April the 15th. So we'll just have to wait and see and hope for the best.
They might call you to fill in if he's not ready.
Oh, I rock too hard.
You can get behind the skins, right?
Yeah.
I think you do.
Those two styles just would not mesh.
Ralph would just melt that band.
Yeah.
You know?
Styles make fights. You know that. I don't even know what that means. But. And Colin Firth is deeply disappointed in his career. Guy who's been nominated for the King's Speech for an Oscar, has been winning all these awards. He said, I became an actor to avoid being forced to wear a suit and tie to work. Because now I've been nominated for so many awards, I have to wear a damn monkey suit everywhere I go. He said. He was joking, of course. But sounds like you, Kevin.
Yeah, it does.
You would be so miserable if you had to go to all these award shows and put on a tux.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, you'd have to put on a tie.
Tuxes are made to make people miserable.
No, they're not.
They are.
They're a lovely garment. They're
horrible.
And everybody looks good in a tux.
They're torture devices.
They're not
I don't.
Torture devices.
I don't look good in
you
a tux.
You look fine in a tux. I've never seen you in one, but I'm sure you do.
This is 2 years in a row for Colin. Remember, he was nominated for everything last year, too. He was in that that Tom Ford movie. Remember, he got nominated for an Oscar, did
he
not win.
But needs to pick bad movies, and then he'll be fine. That's the key. Don't get nominated.
Bruce Willis doesn't have that problem.
Right.
You see him showing up to the Oscars all the time.
Right.
James Franco, speaking of the Oscars, he'll be hosting. He says he has horrible stage fright. He says he's terrified of hosting the Oscars.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. I mean, just because you can act doesn't mean...
But maybe if you have bad stage fright, if you know that about yourself, maybe you say Pasadena. And they come to you and say, do you want to host?
I'd rather not. I'm too scared.
And also, speaking of awards, apparently, Kim Kardashian was the talk of the SAG Awards last Sunday night. Everyone was talking about the fact that she has really toned down her look. They say she's really... gone for light makeup, natural hair, and they said it's a good move for her.
Why
weren't people talking about the fact that Kim Kardashian was at the SAG Awards?
Yeah.
Why was she at the SAG Awards?
That's a good question.
SAG Awards is about actors.
Yeah.
For actors, by actors.
Yeah.
She's not...
any of those?
Any of those. Kim Kardashian.
That's a good point.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Before I get to those, though, I do want to mention the listener. Thank you so much for... was talking about Dave the King of Mexico.
Yeah.
Forcing us all to call him the Mexicutioner now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Listener wrote this morning that if that's the case,
then I should demand that everyone call me the Ralpha male. Ralpha male! Sweet, isn't it?
He is.
Yeah. He's the Ralpha male. I like that. Today's celebrity birthday, Sherman Hemsley is 73 years old today. Exene Cervenka. Nice. The legendary band X celebrates her 55th birthday. Actress Sherilyn Fenn, you remember her from Twin Peaks, 46 years old today. Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of the king, is 43. Pauly Shore, comedian?
No.
Guy, people? No?
Mm.
The Week, so?
Yeah.
He's 43. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 42. Michael C. Hall, Dexter, turns 40 years old. Big Boy of Outkast is 36. Lauren Conrad of The Hills, LC, is 25 years old today. And Heather Morris, who I believe plays Brittany.
Oh, yeah.
On that show. She is 24 years old today on Glee. Yes, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Go to our website, krock.com, and I'm putting up the five sexiest Super Bowl commercials this week each day.
Last time
I did a list like this, I got a lot of hate. But look, I'm doing the best I can. Today you're going to love it. It's at krock.com. It is 5 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. You know, I'm still thinking about the SAG Awards that were on Sunday night. I forgot to tell you guys this, but I was watching the show, and they gave out the SAG Award for the best male performance in a drama on television last year.
Right.
Al Pacino won for his Jack Kevorkian portrayal for You Don't Know Jack. And I remember looking at the TV going, no, 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 please, please don't let him be there. Don't let him be there.
That was so the opposite of me. I was like, yes, he's there. Come on. Because he's the worst acceptance speech giver in the history of acting.
He could be one of the five greatest actors that has ever been in front of a movie camera, yet for some reason you put him up on stage and you let him start talking. Here's a little bit of his appearance at the Emmys, and you'll see why I was so horrified. And that's how it starts.
I haven't even started yet, and you're laughing. It's really an honor. To have had the pleasure to
you see what I mean though?
Yeah.
God,
that's rapid fire right there.
I mean, but that's
take your time, man. Slow down.
But we know he's capable of speaking in a rapid fashion, right? Because we see he can do it when he has to. But for whatever reason, he gets up on the stage behind a podium and he just feels like he's got an hour to talk like that. It's crazy.
I don't know, but I will tell you this, that you might want to be careful how you speak about the great Al Pacino, as we do have him on the phone. He's on the phone.
Al Pacino? Yeah. Al Pacino's on the phone. Yes. Oh, no. So, Kevin, why did you say those things about the great Al Pacino? It was fun that he wasn't there.
I said I was very happy when he won his award. That's what I said. Al?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Hi,
how are
Mr.
you?
Pacino. What a thrill to talk to you, sir.
I just wanted to take this opportunity.
Okay.
Because I wasn't at the SAG Awards.
That's right.
Oh, okay. And you won.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So,
so you wanted to do what?
So, well, I heard you guys talking about it. And
right,
you thought you'd call in and say, you weren't at the SAG Awards, but
I didn't get a chance to thank some people.
So you want to thank everybody?
Who,
okay.
Al, is made there any, it made it possible for you to play that role, Jack Kevorkian? Right.
For me to get the award,
right?
That I
that you won on Sunday night.
God.
Uh-huh. Okay, well.
Sunday!
Okay. Well, you've done that, so thanks a lot for calling,
so,
Al.
Thanks to everybody.
I got a list here.
No.
I wish we had time for that. But we don't have time.
Barry Levinson, who's
your director for the film.
Director.
Right.
Is just amazing! Come on now, Barry Levinson. He's good.
He is good, yeah.
Yeah.
Well respected. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Let me see. John Goodman.
Right.
Oh, fat.
What?
So fat.
Fat?
But incredibly talented.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And,
correct on both fronts.
Want to say to him, Thanks.
Okay.
Right,
could,
okay.
Could you maybe just call these people individually and thank them? Because we got to go out.
Susan Sarandon.
All right. Maybe she's the movie and you want to thank her, too. Okay.
Also in the film.
Right. Right.
Maybe just list everyone and first.
She's,
good?
Oh.
You all right?
Oh.
Okay.
Fun to work
one
with.
One of the.
One of the best actresses of...
Actresses.
Yes.
We got
working today. Okay.
Today.
Today!
Right.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you. Now. Oh. With the working.
All right, Mr. Pacino. Actresses. Thank you. Thank
Come
you very
on.
Much. Okay.
Yeah!
And that's it, and, then. You thanked everybody, right?
Oh, wow. The hair... When you're playing a real person, hair and makeup...
Hey, Bean, do you have some music to play him off?
That's a good idea.
Come on with the hair.
Right.
Hold on. No.
What?
I'm not done yet. No. I'm out of order.
All right.
You're out of
okay,
order.
All right.
This whole radio show's out of order.
Okay.
Hey, don't forget the Big Four concert is coming up soon, Saturday, April the 23rd. That's what, a week after Coachella, I guess? When we
yes.
had Lars Ulrich on from Metallica, one of the bands that's going to be playing that day along with Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax, he said that's one of the reasons why they're doing it there and then they're doing it then is because they'll already have a bunch of the staging still up from Coachella that they can then use to put on this amazing show at the Empire Polo Club in India. Don't forget we have plenty of chances for you to win tickets, including less than 1 hour from right now.
I wonder if you camp for Coachella, if you can just stay there for
I don't
a
know.
Week.
That'd be cool.
I doubt it, because I think once Coachella ends on the Sunday night, I think at that point now you're not allowed, you've run out of time that you've paid for. You're
yeah,
at this point
be.
Trespassing. You probably have to come back and they can charge you to camp again the following week.
All right, well, we have two problems here at the radio station, one bigger than the other. We'll start with the small one. The small one is I wanted to make fun of the Today Show yesterday because they did a big, giant piece, I don't know, 5 minutes long on how hush puppies have changed the world.
It happened.
That magic moment.
That pivotal invention.
And it changed culture.
Oh, yeah!
The year was 1958. The societal turning point? Hush puppies.
We have the Today Show on while we're doing our radio show with the volume down, right? And Kevin hates the Today Show
well,
more than anything
to
in the
that.
World.
Listen
because
to
they
that.
Have 4 hours to fill, so they do a lot of stories, most stories, that Kevin is not interested in. And I guess the breaking point for you yesterday was the 5-minute retrospective
yes.
on the hush puppies, which is a kind of casual shoe, and that was what their story was about.
How hush puppies changed the world.
Right.
So I wanted to get the audio from that. So I says to Omar, I says, can you pull the audio from that story? It was on this morning. And he said, well, there's a little small problem in that we can't record anything anymore because the radio station has not paid the bill. So they turned it off. And so I did.
By the way, that happens about 5 times a year around here.
So I did a little more research, and that was indeed the case. The radio station did not pay the bill, so they said "F you," and they turned it off.
What the
Unbelievable.
Hell?
Unbelievable, by the way.
So that's problem one.
How tough is it to pay the cable bill?
I don't know. How's a business run like this?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, they pay the electricity because that doesn't get turned off. The same time you're writing the check for the electricity, go ahead and send $50 to Comcast. It's not that hard.
It really does happen about every other, 6 months.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
turn it off because we didn't pay the bill. And I don't know how you run a business like that.
No.
I don't get it. We're amateurish on every level.
Yeah.
All right. So that's problem one. So Omar says I can't tape it, but you just heard a clip from it. Oh, how did we get that? Bean goes, oh, I have it. I recorded it. And I said, oh, I didn't know because, we roll tape kind of on everything here mm-hmm. at the radio station. I said to Bean, I don't know. I didn't know you tape every day. And he said, oh, I don't tape every day. I just tape today. And I said, why? And he said these words. I've come around on Justin Bieber. And he was on the show.
The Biebs was on the Today Show yesterday promoting his new movie coming out next week in 3D, Never Say Never. And I thought I'd, record that to watch later because it was on while we're on the air.
Now, Ralph started in his showbiz and Impede the Bieb
yes.
campaign because it just seems like he's annoying. He may have some talent. Okay, fine. He may have good songwriters. All right. Don't care. But he's so in our faces all the time that you get kind of tired of it. And then, you know, and now he has a movie, thank God, because he's got his life story to tell.
Yeah, right.
You know, he put up a video on YouTube, and then Usher gave him a record contract. That's it. It's going to be a short movie, but it's not going to be much for 3D. But anyway, so we all have been on the same page, and Bean has quietly behind the scenes apparently been checking it out and listening and starting to tap his foot and then starting to bob his head a little bit. And now he's changed his mind, and not only does Justin Bieber not bother him like he, I think he used to bother you, did he? Ever?
Yeah. I would say that's accurate. I was kind of with you guys on that he was an annoying little kid who was in our face too much and didn't seem particularly talented. I think that was my read on him at first.
Right. All right.
But like with a lot of things that you, I mean, look, how often does this happen with you where you hear a song and you go, I hate that song. And then the next time you hear it, you go, that's the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
Happens.
And then the third time you hear it, you go, I'm going to kill myself if I ever hear that song again. And by time 10, you're like, I love this song so much. Kevin, you like a G6.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for liking like a G6. It's terrible, yet there's something about it that ends up winning you over.
It is terrible.
I think that's what happened. That's what's happened to me with the Biebs, is that I've heard him enough, and he's grown up a little bit. He's not quite as annoying a little kid as he was. He's matured a little bit, and I think I've decided I'm a fan now. I mean, I don't know that I got the Bieber fever, but I don't mind him, and I'm interested now in seeing what happens next with Justin.
So I immediately dropped the topic of how hush puppies changed the world, because that seems so insignificant compared to the fact that not only has Bean decided he doesn't hate Justin Bieber, he set his DVR to record the Today Show, which is a five-hour extravaganza or whatever, so that he could see the story on Bieber. Now,
I'm just speechless.
I watched Justin on Letterman last night, too, by the way. It was a very entertaining interview. I think I'm a fan. I think I'm coming around.
See, here's the thing, though. And I can't tell. I can never tell. But I always guess. And Bean always says I'm wrong. I think Bean is a contrarian. I think he decides what position he takes based on what everyone else is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're all saying we hate the Biebs, Bean automatically goes to, well, then I must like him.
That's definitely not the case, because I was hating on the Biebs as much as you guys were. I mean,
right,
honestly.
But then you realized it, and then you
said,
well,
I'm man enough to admit when I change my mind. I mean, I'm not going to stick with I hate the Biebs if I don't.
There's
just
nothing manly
else
about
does.
This, Bean.
If you didn't watch the interview
this
yesterday.
This is your little Disney bubble. This is what this is. His little love of Disney shows and those
of
kids.
Of Demi and Selena
just,
and all those.
It's just, yeah, it's just grown to also take in Justin Bieber.
Hang on one second, Mike. If you weren't watching the interview yesterday, you missed this hard-hitting line of questioning from Matt Lauer.
There's a rumor going around you may cut your hair. Is that true?
No, well, actually, like, I'm just, like, messing it up a lot, like, before, usually I had it just like flat, like everything, just regular shake. But like I'm just messing it up.
See,
now.
I can't miss that.
He is pulling our chain because look, after this whole when he dropped the bomb on Kevin that he's now turned on the Biebs, he then said without us prompting him. And by the way, Bieber's movie looks pretty good.
it does, by the way.
No, it doesn't.
He's just pushing buttons.
Bean, you're a smart guy. That's just not true. There's
no the
way
movie
you
looks
see,
pretty good.
There's no way you see the trailer for Never Say Never, and you're like, oh, that looks like a compelling movie about a kid who's had a five-year career at age 16. There's just no way.
First of all, just like on American Idol, when you get wrapped up in the drama of the kids and their lives and how you know they've been singing since they were two, you look at that video of Justin Bieber when he's playing drums at 3 years old and then playing piano at 5 years old and then playing guitar at 8 years old, and you go, this kid's got some real, real talent. I mean, he almost seems like he was kind of destined to make it in show business.
Right, so give me 25 years of making it in show business and then make a movie about it.
And also, it's not like he's a Haitian immigrant that came here on a corrugated tin roof and made it in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's really nothing that intriguing about him.
I don't know. Look, I don't know what you guys want me to tell you.
Pulled that clip specifically because you know how lame it was for Matt Lauer to ask him about his hair.
I think it is kind of funny. Yeah.
But lame. Funny. It's funny for the same reason I hate it, because it's inane babble.
You've got this voice that makes especially the young girls swoon. Are you worried about your voice changing? You're 16.
No, I mean, my voice is definitely changing gradually. It's definitely lower than it was last time I was with you, right?
See, because he's talking about... voice.
Right, but you're
fascinating.
You're using that as comedy. I mean, you're just trying to poke us with a stick and say, "Ha ha!" I think
I will
the Beaver
tell
movie
you
looks good.
I no, the Beaver movie does look good.
It
I
doesn't.
Like
it just
I like
doesn't.
His records more than I mean the interview. The interview's fine. It's interesting to kind of get the backstory and see what that life is like. But I do. I think I do enjoy the records most of all.
I just don't know what to do with
How
that.
How can you like that
He doesn't.
Music.
He doesn't. I'm telling you.
I do,
you,
though. Look.
I'm telling you, whatever.
We're out of time.
Whatever the position is of everybody that he knows, he automatically takes the opposite side. It's reflex. He doesn't
that's
even
just,
realize
that's
it.
That's just yeah. not true. That's crazy. That's just not true. But I will tell you that there is something about the kind of music that he makes that isn't all that different from... You know, the Beatles' first two albums in terms of being the youth.
Wow.
I'm not comparing him to an artist as the Beatles. I'm just saying, I'm just saying the youthful exuberance of that kind of music that's aimed for 13-year-olds. There is something satisfying about it. It is a sweet, you know, if you have a sweet tooth, it satisfies that. Or a New Kids on the Block record or a Donny Osmond record or anything else that's kind of aimed for that target. I mean, it's the hysteria-inducing youth music.
Right, because you're 13.
Well, I'm just saying there is something that's fun about that.
Are you a pedophile?
No, it's not like that at all. I'm just saying I may have the Bieber fever.
You don't,
that's
though.
All. I might have the
I
Bieber
want to
fever.
Wrestle you so freaking bad.
I got Bieber fever.
Paging Chris Hansen. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'm just saying I don't buy it. You're having a laugh. You're making us all crazy, and then you snicker when you turn off the microphone.
You can look at my iTunes if you want, but there's plenty of Biebs. Just saying.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Damn you to hell.
Do you not hear me? Tickets for Big Four coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Metallica and Slayer and Anthrax and Megadeth. Don't you know you have a chance to win those in about 20 minutes. Rob's got the showbiz beat, and we'll talk to the vice president of business operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. Boy, that's a fascinating story Jeannie Buss has gotten because, yeah, she was kind of born into it. But then you got to do something with that. Then you got to make something of yourself. And by all accounts, she's just doing a great job with that franchise. So fascinating book out. We'll talk to Ms. Buss coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know if you saw the story on the royal wedding. The story. One of the millions
of
stories about the royal wedding, which is, of course, Prince William, Princess Diana's son, and Kate Middleton.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but because they're doing thousands of stories on the royal wedding, is that the media's interpretation that we're all fascinated with it, or are they getting some sort of feedback that we give a hoot who's getting married in Britain?
First of all, I don't know who says give a hoot anymore. Second of all...
but you know what I mean?
I can't imagine, because every time I see it, it makes me angry.
Because I don't care about
it.
And honestly, if they got married and I didn't ever hear about it, I would be fine with that.
Right, and you are fascinated with... The British royal.
He is, yeah.
Yeah,
more
but I don't
than,
care.
More than anyone. And you don't care about this wedding at all. Well, there was a story that came out, I think, yesterday about how they have commemorative condoms now being rolled out for the royal wedding.
Rolled out.
Yes, they're called king size, in quotes.
Oh, I see.
And they apparently don't work. They want you just to hang on to them as a...
Oh.
A souvenir.
As a souvenir, yeah. They're not exactly made so that they work.
Okay.
So it looks like everybody's trying to cash in.
Yeah, every time there's an event like this, just like when President Obama got elected, remember you could buy an Obama everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a bootleg this and an authorized that. I mean, it was just crazy how much stuff there was, and it's the same way over the pond because the royal wedding is coming up April the 29th. We wanted to find out more about these commemorative condoms and other products that are for sale this year to celebrate the wedding. And producer Alex, believe it or not, lined up somebody from Britain with Royal Novelties Limited. He is the CEO. His name is Derek Biggs, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Biggs, thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Boy, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
You're the CEO of Royal Novelties?
Yeah, that's right. We've got a company here in the UK, and we're creating a line of commemorative products for the royal wedding. But, of course, you know, we're keeping it classy.
Classy.
And, you know, appropriate for the tone of the special day.
Okay, so your company then isn't making the Crown Jewels condoms
find that's crass. We find that's right out of line for how we should be treating the royal family. Should be something that's appropriate and something people can collect. We know people are interested,
right?
But we like them also to have a touch of class and behave accordingly.
Well, that's good.
So you're more like the plates and the spoons and that sort of thing?
Boring. Oh, they're so boring.
Oh.
No,
oh.
Our things are so much more interesting, and we think people really want to collect them all for Kate and William. or as we call him, Killiam, around here, or Wait. We haven't decided what the name is yet. But, for example, we got the Kate and William commemorative wedding toilet seat. It's got a picture of Kate on one side, William on the other, and a big hole in the center.
Okay, that sounds awfully disrespectful to be, you know, taking a poop on your monarch.
Unless you have bad aim, you're not pooping on him, are you?
But you're sitting on him.
Well, yeah, a lot is, feel like a prince on your own throne. The Kate and William commemorative toilet seat.
So condoms are crass, but the toilet seat is...
Yeah, that's proper, that is.
I see.
We also got the commemorative royal wedding teeth whitening strips. Royal wedding whitening strips guaranteed to whiten your teeth no matter what direction they go in.
Oh, yeah. There's a big market there.
Yeah. We also got personal hygiene products.
Okay.
Like the teeth whitening strips and also royal wedding hair coloring.
Wedding hair coloring.
Yeah. It's called the Princess Dye Job.
Oh, see, now you start bringing in...
She can't be there, but what can't you, we say?
Right, but that's just kind of tech.
Your looks like you died young.
Oh, come on.
Not a gray in sight.
Mr. Biggs, come on.
Yeah, we got the prepackaged commemorative deli meat sandwiches. So when you're watching the festivities on April 29th, you'll be able to sit in front of your telly and pop open one of our deluxe deli meat sandwiches. We got Buckingham on rye, long liver the queen on white, everything served with a side of Old King coleslaw.
Sure, okay.
We got that going for you.
Now, wait, nice. I buy that now and then I wait till the 29th to
It'll
eat it?
Keep, yeah. Okay. It's good. It'll be good till like winter.
Okay.
It's well preserved.
All right. Sounds like it.
Yeah. And of course, in keeping with the festivities and the theme, of two beautiful young people committing to holy matrimony for life. Mm. We've got the royal wedding commemorative whoopee cushion.
Whoopee cushion?
Because you need to keep laughter in the relationship in order to keep it going.
Yeah, but I don't think fart sounds are really part of the solemnity of the occasion.
It is. You know, it's a bit of levity, but, you know, you need that in a marriage for it to be healthy.
Okay.
So it's a royal commemorative whoopee cushion. Make your loved one think you're breaking Windsor.
Yeah.
Well, you've been slow heads at least. That's good.
Hey, just ahead of Ralph Grauman in the Showbiz Beat this hour on the Kevin Bean Show, why don't we line up some contestants for the Big Four concert? We're talking about Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax, all playing full sets on one day in one place. Saturday, April 23rd, at the Empire Polo Club in Indio. We have a four-pack of tickets that you can win right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, you have to be on hold for a few minutes. We're not going to do it till after the top of the hour. And the more familiar you are with the music of the bands, the better off you'll have a chance of winning. So call now, and good luck.
I see.
Play a game, and you can get in on that 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Well, Charlie Sheen is in rehab.
Or is he?
Oh, no.
Already? Charlie never really wanted to go to rehab, according to insiders, and is currently seeking treatment at his home.
That'll work.
Wow.
He doesn't necessarily want to go someplace as much as he wants to stay home.
Well, there's no drugs at the rehab.
That's
Come on.
The first problem.
We were talking to Harvey Levin yesterday from TMZ, and we were guessing, did he want to go, or was it the studio, CBS or whatever, or the studio that makes Two and a Half Men, forced him into it, and he thought very clearly they tried to force him into it.
Yes, and apparently he is, either he hasn't yet decided on a facility, or is refusing to go to a facility and demanding to be treated at home. Charlie thinks... someone will be able to make a phone call, and then late at night, a guy will drop by with a suitcase full of sobriety and dump it out on his coffee table. Apparently, he thinks that's how things work in his world. So we'll have to wait and see. But in the meanwhile, CBS is scrambling. Let's say Charlie does get into rehab. It's going to be a minimum of 3 months, which means the production of Two and a Half Men will be on hold for at least that long. What do you do with the time slot for new episodes of Two and a Half Men? They stand to lose millions of dollars in advertising revenue now that the show's on hold.
I would think they would just do reruns. They have a lot of seasons, don't they?
Yeah, but you can't charge the same for a rerun as you can for a new show.
Yeah.
So apparently they are upping the orders of other CBS sitcoms. See, here I thought the silver lining to this horrible story with Charlie Sheen was less Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
That's the plus side. They
make a ton of dough on that show, you know.
You got, you know, Charlie is sad news, he needs help, but on the plus side, there's not as much Two and a Half Men in the world. So I said, all right, every cloud has its silver lining.
Sure.
But now apparently they are adding additional episodes of Mike and Molly and Rules of Engagement so they can play those in the time slot instead of Charlie Sheen's show. So
I guess that's good for them. I don't know.
It's good for Mike and Molly and Rules of Engagement. It's bad for the TV viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that Mike
and
Molly.
Not. No, I have not.
That's the fat people show, right?
It is.
No interest.
Yeah. Amy Poehler's embarrassed.
Maybe more episodes would kill them if they're fat. I mean, let's not push them too hard, right? No? All right. Back to you.
It's not a show about them walking up a hill. It's just them talking.
All right.
Amy Poehler's a little embarrassed. Shocking photos of her have hit the internet. I can see why she would be upset. I've seen the photos.
Are they nude?
No, they're worse.
Oh.
They're photos of her modeling as a teenager.
Oh.
Back when she was trying to get into show business.
Oh, no.
And the photos of her modeling a candy striper outfit. Apparently it's for a uniform catalog.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's a teenager with her red hair, wearing a candy striper outfit, and she looks suitably sad.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Not like that. It's legitimate.
Oh.
A lot of bisexuality in today's showbiz news.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Last hour I mentioned that a model is claiming to have had an affair with Rihanna. A young model named Taja Burton told the London Sun that she had an amazing connection with Rihanna, carried on an affair with her, and said basically they just spent all their days in the bedroom. Watching TV, ordering food, and then you know the rest.
I only paid for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
And now Jillian Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
From The Biggest Loser. Told Ladies Home Journal last year that she was a bisexual, but didn't talk about her relationship. Apparently, Jillian's been seeing a young lady named Heidi Rhodes. That sounds like a porn name, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Heine Rhodes.
Is it Heine?
For some time, and they're getting serious. You know, it's not hard for lesbians to get serious, by the way. It's like that old joke. What does a lesbian bring to a second date? A moving van? They've adopted a puppy together, so it must be love.
Wow.
Yeah. They got themselves a puppy and a case of peanut butter. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, man.
I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it to me. I don't understand what the connection is, but it seems to be important for this story.
I don't understand it either,
Ralph. I don't either. Derek Hough in the news. He, of course, from Dancing with the Stars, he said he's taking a break from that popular TV series because he's got movie work.
What?
Yeah, he's going to be starring in a new movie called Kobu 3D, where he will play a New Orleans street dancer who moves to New York and falls for an Asian drummer in a rival dance group.
What?
Come on, that's not real.
It's a real movie.
What time is the King of Mexico's call time?
Oh, I can't wait to see Kobu 3D.
It's got
to
be in that.
I'm going to be in that.
I'm
going to
see Kabu. It's going to be so good. It'd be 3D, like in IMAX, and I'll be standing in the back. You can see me in the far corner of the frame. So Derek in his first movie role. Congratulations, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. I'm also taking a break from Dancing with the Stars, by the way.
Are you?
For a
movie role?
Nope, just not watching it.
Just taking a break. Yeah. It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores or online if you want to pick up something new. Live at Stubbs Volume 2 by Modest Yahoo is finally available. The second volume of his live performance is available for all you Modest Yahoo fan.
Kevin, you still on the mailing list for Modest Yahoo?
Still getting his info? Did they mention the new CD?
I can't get off that.
The new Ricky Martin CD has dropped today.
Booby!
Oops, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one.
So, there you go.
Not what interests Ricky Martin.
No.
Musica plus alma plus sexo, it's called.
All right. Sounds like made-up English-Spanish words.
Musica is actually a Spanish word for music. Sexo, as you can imagine, is a word for sex. And who Alma is, I have no idea, but I guarantee you she's going to be disappointed. DVDs today. Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2 is finally available on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, stop it.
Let Me In, the vampire movie starring Chloe Grace Moretz, who was so good as Kick-Ass, as Hit Girl in Kick-Ass, the movie. And Never Let Me Go, starring Keira Knightley, Carey Mulligan, and Andrew Garfield. I don't remember when this film was in theaters, but that's a good grouping of young British stars right there, so you can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Heather Morris, who plays Brittany on Glee. She is 24 years old. Lauren Conrad LC from the Hills is 25. Big Boy of Outkast turns 36 today. Michael C. Hall, our buddy Dexter, is 40. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 42. Pauly Shore is 43, as is Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of the late Elvis Presley and a performer in her own right. Sherilyn Fenn is 46. Exene Cervenka of the legendary band X is 55 today. And Sherman Hemsley, Mr. Jefferson, he's moving on up.
He is.
In age, he is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I present for your entertainment, exhibition number one, or I guess it's exhibit. Exhibit number one, a Slayer fan.
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat! Suck! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
So imagine that times, I don't know, 100,000 or something out in the desert, April 23rd, Empire Polo Club in Indio, yes?
We got that at a Slayer show.
Yes, you
and
did.
And we didn't ask that guy a question. Like, he right. saw the microphone and just grabbed it. He was sitting in a wheelchair. What's his name?
Yasir.
Yasir. Greatest guy in the world. Grabbed the microphone in front of us and just started going, just started ranting.
So what is the show going to be like when you've got Slayer there doing their set, you got Megadeth playing, you got Anthrax on the bill, and, oh, I don't know, a little band called Metallica. Saturday, April 23rd, Empire Polo Club in India. We got four packs of tickets we're going to give away right now. What's this game called, Kevin?
Well, it's called Big Four Loco. Big Four Loco. Now, here's why. Because, you know, there are different versions, different musical genres that cover songs. So, for example, there's bluegrass and hip-hop and lullaby and string quartet, all playing Metallica songs.
So, I see.
All different bands. So that's crazy, right? So that's why it's Loco. And it's the Big Four? Anyone buying this?
Ouch. All right, here's the way the game is played. We'll put you on the air. We'll be playing a different version of a Metallica song. All these songs will be Metallica. All you have to do is identify the Metallica song that the band is playing. You'll see what we mean when we start with Phil. He's on line one and is our first contestant on the Big Four Loco. Phil, I hope you're a big Metallica fan. You ready to go here?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. This is. Should we tell him what style of music it is? I guess that won't help much.
It won't help much.
This is Celtic. Celtic. Which,
oh, wow.
I hear you. I don't know that I would understand that. But it is a Metallica song, so tell us which song this is. All right. Which Metallica song is that?
Oh, I know the song. I don't know the name of it.
Oh, you know both, by the
one.
Way.
One. One.
Yes!
Nice. I can't remember anything.
Nicely
all right,
done.
I don't know why the Celtic version needs to exist, but Phil, it paid off for you. You are in the drawing for the tickets. Hang on. Victor, line two on the Kevin Bean Show. Welcome to Big Four Loco. You see how the game is played? You ready to go?
Yep.
All right. This is bluegrass. It's a bluegrass version of a Metallica song. Here you go.
And with dust in the throat I pray, only knowledge will I say to the game.
Right, which Metallica song is that?
Nothing Else Matters.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Wherever I May Roam. Yeah, that was...
Thanks for playing. Tom is on line three. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play Big Four Loco?
You better believe it. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
All right, this is a hip-hop version of a Metallica song. Tell us which song.
Put the go mind, it's messing your brain.
Yeah, we don't need that either, by the way.
All right, what do you think there, Thomas?
We don't need that, but that is certainly Master of Puppets.
Yeah! Nicely done. That's a terrible version, but you got in the drawing. Hold on.
That's wrong, too. All right, let's try Cameron. Cameron, thank you for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Oh, heck yeah. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
All right, this is a lullaby version, so it's children's music. It's a lullaby version of a Metallica song. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who would buy that? Like, if you're
Are you going to put your kids to sleep or are you going to murder them? What's going on here?
If you are a Metallica fan, you would play a Metallica. You wouldn't play them that. All right, what Metallica song is that, Cameron?
Oh, man. Can I hear it again?
Nope. Sorry.
You want to take a guess?
Enter Sandman.
Oh, yes. What a lucky. You have this. See your prayers, it's a one.
Don't forget my son. Nice. Yes, it was Enter Sandman. Wow. Unbelievable. All right, Chris, line five. We're running out of time here, but we want you on the air to play Four Loko. You ready?
Yep.
This is a bluegrass version of a Metallica song. Good luck. Trust I seek, and I find in you.
Every day for something new. Which Metallica song is that?
Oh, man. I don't even know.
Oh, everyone else on the phones hate you. Nothing else matters. Trust I seek, and I find in you. Oh, there are, everybody else is like, I would have got that one.
We got to do one more. Let's squeeze in one more because I really want to hear this piano version of Metallica coming up next. This is going to be, where are we? Are we at Shane? Or
we
Chris?
Are at Chris.
Are we? Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. This is a piano version of a Metallica song.
Yeah, that's terrible, but you should be able to figure that one out, Chris.
It is The Unforgiven.
Nicely done.
Nicely done indeed. Great contestants here. We got some real Metallica fans on the line. Phil, Thomas, Cameron, or Chris? Who's going to the Big Four show? Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, Saturday, April 23rd. Lisa?
Thomas is the winner.
Yay!
Thomas, congratulations. You got tickets. You actually got a four-pack of tickets for the Big Four.
Huh? And the same to you as well. Hey, party people, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Tuesday. Jeannie Buss joins us in an hour. She is the Vice President of Business Operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. Fascinating organization to be the face of. So that's going to be an interesting interview coming up. Right now, though, we're going to talk about, is it time to back it up?
It is that time, yeah. If you go to kevinandbean.com, you can see this the video. The original news piece was a robbery in, it was happening while this woman was in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling the reporter exactly what happened, and this is how it went.
I was putting one more tap of coffee in my coffee cup, and out of the corner of my eyes, I saw two guys come in, one with a black hoodie, one with a white hoodie. And the guy with the black hoodie said, "We want your money, everybody up front and down." And I'm like, oh, why did I need coffee now? And he comes right to me and he goes, "Get down now." And I go, "Yes, sir." And I just drop to my knees, see, my little knee. And then when I'm on my knees, I'm backing up. Because my daddy taught me good, and I'm backing the hell out of there.
Now, we have many questions about that. Not the least of which is, how did your daddy teach you that? Did he say, if a guy comes in with a gun, you back up?
Yeah, it does seem an awfully specific situation to have advice about. Unless he just sat her down and said, all right, I'm going to tell you the 20,000 things that are possible that might happen at some point in your life so that you're prepared to deal with all of them, in which case, good dad, right?
Yeah, no kidding. So then the song was made by the, what are the name of the brothers? I'm sorry.
The Auto-Tune the News guys?
Yes, those guys.
Mike?
I don't know their names.
Ah! We're so lame. The Gregory Brothers. Thank you.
There you go.
Omar just said it. And then they put this song together.
I'm backing up. Because my daddy taught me good. I'm backing the hell out of there. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. My God. I'm backing up.
The choir comes
in. My daddy taught me good. And I think maybe I should faint, but I don't know.
I think maybe I should faint, but I don't, because Dad told me not to do that as well.
Now, we talked about that video a lot when it came out at the end of last year, but we never had the opportunity to turn it into a phone topic. And I don't know if we're going to, I don't know how many people we're going to get on this, but we started talking about what would it be like if you were someplace when, as is the case of this woman on the video, where somebody tries to rob the place that you're standing in. And it happened to me. Many years ago, I was in a store that was robbed at gunpoint. And I thought, well, if it's happened to me, there's a good chance it's happened to other people too.
Did you take it down with your black belt capabilities?
With my kung fu skills, yeah. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number. If you were someplace when it got robbed, we want to hear where, how, and what you did. I'd like to say that I put my life on the line for somebody else's $20, Kevin, but no, I did not choose to make that decision.
A roundhouse kick and knock the gun out of his hand and then choke him out?
I was in a 7-Eleven. I know that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And
wow,
I was back.
7-Elevens are tiny. You can see everyone in it.
Yes. And I was in the back of the store by where the refrigerators were, and I was in for a quart of chocolate milk. That's what I'd stopped in for. Because, you know, body by 7-Eleven, that's me, right?
Sure.
And, you know, in the few seconds that I was in the store and I was back there, a guy walked through the front door with a mask on, you know, with like one of those bandanas over his nose and mouth, and he's got a gun out, and he just walks right up to the counter, and he holds the guy up. Just like you see in the movies. I mean, the guy, you know, opened up the cash register and started taking all the money out and giving it to him.
Did he see you, or did you duck before he got a chance to look around the store?
I don't think he saw me. In fact, I'm fairly sure he didn't see me. Or if he did, he decided it wasn't worth getting involved in a customer. If the customer wasn't going to give him any trouble, he just wanted to get the money and get the hell out of there. So I just ducked down. I mean, I pushed down.
Were you backing up?
I wasn't. I don't remember backing up.
Because your daddy didn't teach you good.
No, apparently I had no special skills in order to solve. So I just I kind of just crouched down and hid and could and you know waited till I heard the bell of him leaving the store. And then I got up, and the guy, you know, the clerk was freaked out a little bit and called the police.
Did the
police
clerk say, hey, thanks for the help, a-hole?
Yeah.
No? Well, now, hold on a sec. Before you guys are coming down on me, what's my responsibility as a customer in the store when there's a man with a gun?
Oh, no, it's nothing. You should die.
Did you want me to leap over the shelves and get him?
That would have been a better story, but I'm sure if I was in that same situation, I would do the exact same thing, which is duck and roll.
I have an extremely strong self-preservation thing happening. I really do. So I ducked. He left. They called the cops. The cops were there in like 2 minutes or something like that. And they wanted to seal up the store. And by the way, for you a-holes who always ask the joke, hey, why do they have locks on the 7-Elevens when they're open all the time? One of the reasons is so they can close it down when it's a crime scene. All right.
Can I hear your impression again?
So I said I gave the police my statement and then walked out of the store. And the best part, never paid for the chocolate milk. It was good.
That dude got robbed twice.
Wow.
I got a free quart of chocolate milk. How
you didn't
like me
toss
down?
A buck at him or something?
Well, first of all, the whole place was shut down, and he had no money in the register. He couldn't have even given me change. Guess the guy took everything.
Wow.
So that's my story of being in a place where it was robbed. You heard what I did. You heard what the back it up lady did. Now we want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067. You want to take one real quick before the break, kind of get us started?
Sure.
All right, let's try Danny. Danny works at a liquor store, or worked at a liquor store, on line 4, and he was a little bit more proactive than I was in my robbery situation. Hi, Danny. Thanks for calling.
Hey, hi, Kevin and Bean. How you doing, Lisa May?
Hello.
What happened to you? A liquor store?
I was actually sitting outside a liquor store waiting for my wife. Some guy went in, stuffed his pockets full of liquor. I believe he was already intoxicated. Started squabbling with the clerk and ran off. I went off after him.
Okay, wait. Let me just make sure I understand this. So your wife's inside the store.
Yes.
And you don't work there.
I'm sitting outside.
You don't work there.
No, I don't work there. I'm sitting outside.
Why would you chase the guy who stole the liquor?
I don't know. It was some type of reaction in me. I saw him fighting with the clerk, and I just chased after him. I didn't even think about it until afterwards.
It's the difference between you and me.
I guess so.
Again,
wow.
I'm sitting there. I'm probably applauding.
Yeah,
you go, man. Did you catch him?
Yeah, I caught him, tackled him, and held him till the police showed up and got the guy arrested. Apparently, he had done that before and gotten away.
All right, let me ask you this.
Vigilante justice.
Let me ask you this, because I'm trying to determine how much of a man I am versus you. Did he have a gun?
No weapon, no nothing. Just went in there to do a grab and run, you know, basically.
Okay.
You know.
All right, so you didn't feel threatened because he hadn't fired off shots or anything.
No, he was fighting with the clerk.
I got you.
Like I said, it was just like a reaction in me.
And he was already drunk, so you thought, wow, I could look like a hero by tackling a drunk guy.
I tackled him pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Hard.
And then you could steal his liquor, too.
That's right.
That's a win-win for you.
What's he going to do?
It was one of those citizen's arrests.
Yes. Did you sit on him until the police came?
Yes, exactly.
I like it.
Fantastic. All right, thank you for the call. By the way, if I had any fear that we weren't going to get any reaction, every single line is packed with somebody who was at a place where it got robbed. So we're going to take your calls coming up next. 1-800-520-1067 right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, this is going to be fun. Talking about being in a location when it was robbed, preferably at gun or knife point. Those are my favorite stories. 1-800-520-1067. Happened to me. It happened to the back it up lady. Let's find out if it happened to you. Let's start with Paula. She is on line 8. She was robbed at knife point, ladies and gentlemen.
Paula.
Hi.
Were you working at this place?
Yeah, I was actually the only one on the shift that morning.
Where were you working?
I was working over at a video store.
Okay.
Okay. And a guy walks in with a knife and wants money or wants videos?
He wanted money, but he ended up getting $75 out of the register.
That's it? That's all you had, right?
It.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how does that work? He's standing across the counter from you. He's got a knife. Is he able to get close enough to you to cut you if he wants?
Yeah, he actually ended up walking past the little door and right behind me. And all of a sudden, I just heard the door swing, and there he was.
So you just gave him money, and he ran out?
He actually stayed for a little bit. I asked him if he wanted the change, because I had like $10 in change. He even took my pennies.
Well, he took your pennies. That's not right.
So,
no.
Now, let me ask you this, and we don't have much time because we got tons of great calls on the line, but did you just collapse into a puddle when he left? I mean, did the adrenaline just really hit you hard once he walked out when you realized, hey, I could have seriously been hurt?
Yeah, I actually ran out the door and tried to see where he went, and the only reason he left was because some old guy came in. But it turns out the whole time, there was some lady in the back just still going through movies. Never noticed it even happened.
She's the bean of that store.
No kidding.
No help whatsoever.
Never
thanks.
All right. I'm glad you're okay, Paula. Thank you very much for the call. That would put you off of a retail job if you get help.
How about a bank teller?
Right? Yes.
That got robbed at gunpoint. How about
that? Let's hear it.
Kylie, hi.
Hello. Good morning.
You were a bank teller.
I was. I was on a job for about a month.
Oh, man. Still new.
It was Valentine's Day towards the end of the day, and I was in the vault when this guy came in. And when I came out, he had gotten the teller next to me. And when I found out what was happening, I started looking at him thinking, okay, this is what he's wearing. This is, you know, what he looks like. And then I hear him say, I'm going to get the girl next to you. And I thought, oh, crap.
Well, you're unusually calm about
it. No kidding.
Well, I had just been through the training, so I was trying to remember everything. And then when he got to me, I was, you know, I had a poor lady. I had an older lady with me. And she just kind of got pushed off to the side, so I started giving him my ones and my fives, and he says, I don't want that. I want the 20s. So I thought, okay. And I ended up giving him my die pack, and the bag apparently exploded on him 20 feet after he got out the door.
Nice.
So.
Fantastic. Hey, what do they tell you when you work at a bank? What is the policy for employees? Do they tell you not to resist, not to do anything funny, just to hand over the money and we'll take care of it?
Basically, it doesn't matter how much they get away with. Just do what they want. I mean, this guy had a gun pointing at us. I don't know if it was loaded or not, but
right.
Basically, say, you know, don't be the hero.
Yeah, you don't really want to check if it's loaded.
No.
Yeah, just assume it is and move on.
There's one way to find out, and it's not pretty.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Glad you're okay, Kylie. We appreciate that. By the way, you guys going to be okay? What are you swimming in down there, Kevin? How much fluid is on you right now? And I don't mean that in a dirty way.
I just spilled my Diet Coke all over all of the equipment, so we may be off the air very soon.
Yeah, we have to get these calls in fast. All right, let's try Steve. He was also working at a video store, but he ended up with a gun to his head.
Oh,
Steve, dude, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Basically, what happened was it was at the end of the shift after midnight, and my manager had me go count on my register. And so we go into the back, and she goes to lock up. And then next thing you know, I turn around because I hear her say my name. And she has a guy holding her with a gun to her head. And I'm sitting there just counting my register, and I'm on the job maybe 3 months.
Did you say, take me, don't put the gun to her head?
No, he basically, he just kind of walked up, pushed her away, kicked me out of the chair. And he's putting the gun to my head and telling me to get into the bathroom. The door was open right there.
Yeah.
And so I'm calling Anthony's into the bathroom.
I don't think it's heading in that direction, Kevin.
Oh.
I think he was just trying to get him out of the way so he could safely steal the money.
I see.
And so I call into the bathroom, and he actually locks me in.
Okay, good.
And
best
so
case scenario for you.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, so I'm in the bathroom, and he's telling me to just keep talking. I'm like, well, what do you want me to say? just say hello. So I'm in the bathroom for like 45 seconds just saying hello over and over and over. And the best
I wonder if he wanted you to do that so he knew that you weren't making a phone call like with your cell phone or something.
Well, that was back in the days when cell phones were few and far between.
I got you.
So then why did he want you to say hello? Is he lonely?
Well, he's a crook. He's not very smart.
Oh, all right.
Did he get away with it, dude?
Oh, he got away with over $3,000 because what happened was it actually turned into a big investigation because our safes, they were on a time delay.
Right.
And while he was in the back, the safe had actually opened up. So the manager had set the safe prior to that.
Ah.
And so there was a big investigation where they
how did he know when it was going to open? It was an inside job.
So they took us down and had a polygraph test for both of us, and the manager never finished the test.
Really?
Oh, how about that? So you think he was in on it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Interesting.
Awesome.
Wow, I didn't see that twist coming. All right, very good. Thank you for the call. He robbed the Blockbuster video store at the right time. If you robbed one today, you'd be lucky to get $30 out of there.
For those of you that don't understand, Blockbuster used to be a store, a chain of stores where they would rent videos, and they don't exist anymore. Let's go to Bob, because he's been in two robberies. Now, that's odd, right?
It's on you
depends
at that point,
where
right,
you
Bob?
Work.
Bob?
Yes?
Were these in different places?
Yes, they were. One of them was just when I was a clerk in a pharmacy, and a guy put a sawed-off shotgun on me and wound up robbing the drugstore for, you know, all the drugs that you could possibly want to get really high on.
Sure.
Wow.
And I was kind of a young kid at the time. I was like 18 or 19, and had to go home and change myself afterwards.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
I can see that. Okay.
And where was the other one?
The second one was I just had a son born, and I was at the Bank of America to open up a new account with all the checks and the cash people had given me as gifts. And I'm standing at the new accounts desk, and suddenly guys came in and robbed the bank. And I had just started to talk to the lady, and I'm noticing that these guys, of course, are paying attention to all the bank tellers and so forth. And I thought, you know, eventually they could come and rob all the patrons. So I took since they weren't paying attention to me, I took my wallet out of my pocket and I threw it at the feet of the lady at the new accounts desk, which was pretty bold and stupid. But at the time, you know, I was still kind of young and not really,
right.
What could happen to me as much as I was just worried about how much money we would lose.
Wow. I think it's Bob, don't you? I mean, he was working at the pharmacy. Hey, bring in a shotgun. I'll split it with you.
He was at the bank when it happened. Mm. Yeah. I'm not hanging out with you, dude.
That's for sure. Stop. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:57.
There is a controversy a-brewing. Oh. Ralph, you'll have an opinion on this. We're going to talk about it after the top of the hour, about the actor hired to play Superman in the rebooting of the franchise. There are some who are displeased with that choice for a reason that you won't believe. That's coming up here on the Kevin Amici Show. Now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's out.
What's out?
Bean. Finally out of the closet. No, the list on AskMen.com, they do this every year, the 99 most desirable women. List for 2011 has been released, and the top three would be hard to argue. 99 women made the list, but the big three are number three, Sofia Vergara from ABC's Modern Family.
Yep.
Well, I hear that, and the only thing I think is who can be hotter than Sofia Vergara?
Well, obviously, this is to taste, and there you can argue all day about, you know, your favorite.
I got in a lot of trouble when I started talking about my top 10 list of women because everybody has such strong opinions about who they think is so hot.
And you were horribly wrong.
And I was bad. Yeah.
Yes. Even my wife, though, we were watching the SAG Sunday night. She was like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
She walks out and she looks like she walked out of a cartoon or something. It's like a comic book superheroine, her body and face and everything is ridiculous.
And here's the other thing about Sofia Vergara. Great personality.
Oh, so funny and talented.
Seems like she's having the time of her life. I mean, she just looks like she'd be a great chick to hang with.
She'd be crazy in bed, too.
Yes, absolutely.
She was on the red carpet, and they were talking about her dress, and she was talking to, I don't know, Juliana de Alien, or whatever that girl is on E. Her giant, sloping eyes, and her freakishly large head, and her looks like she just got off a saucer. Sofia Vergara said, I wish I had, like, small breasts like you so I could just put on anything and just go out. But me, I have to strap these in. And she's just so comfortable and funny about her body.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, no, no, you're better. You're better.
Number two on the list, Mila Kunis.
Number two. Yeah.
Mila Kunis.
Yes.
The wildly popular Black Swan. Of course, she was on That 70s Show for many years. And she's my buddy from Family Guy. She also plays Meg, the voice of Meg. Mm-hmm. Griffin on Family Guy. She also is another girl who's just a sweetheart, could not be nicer, funnier, more down to earth, and yet is incredibly sexy.
Yeah,
but is almost diametrically opposed to Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, that's a
Sofia Vergara is this tall Amazonian, busty, curvy, just monolith of a woman, and Mila's just this tiny little adorable little kitten.
All right, so 3 and 2 are good.
Number one.
Number one!
Blake Lively.
No.
Oh, she appeared, of course, in the Boston crime floor, The Town, most recently. She's going to be in the new Green Lantern movie coming out later this year. I think she's stunning.
No.
And very talented.
No!
What's wrong with you people?
Look.
She's okay.
Look,
she's better than okay.
She's good.
Better than okay.
She's good. I think she's good. I think she's great. But is she number one?
Yeah. That's a no.
Again, number one, you have to eliminate.
You can argue this all day long, and I have no inclination to do so. But I think she is smolderingly sexy.
She is.
She has turned out to be a really, really much better actress than anybody possibly could have imagined when she joined Gossip Girl.
All agreed.
And she's beautiful.
Top 20, easy.
But Ralph, even personally, do you think she's anywhere near as hot as Charlize Theron?
No, I don't.
You think she's
But then again, that's personally, that's me.
But do you think she's anywhere as hot as the first two you named that are number two and number three?
I think in a very different way, yes. She certainly rivals Mila Kunis in my mind. Because she's got that blonde, all-American thing where Mila has this sort of swarthy, exotic beauty to her. It's a very different type, but I certainly think she qualifies.
That's an all right list.
I'm with Kevin. I'm top 20 for Blake, but I mean, if you're not including, you know, Megan Fox and a bunch of other names that come to mind, there's no way she's number
Megan
one.
Megan Fox, really? Isn't she just played, though? Isn't she just played?
No.
Isn't she too thin and a little rough looking? Okay, we get it. We get it, Megan Fox.
Not ever.
I can understand why this list, Ask Men, is trying to be a little relevant, a little current, and
Bar Raffaelli.
Absolutely. I'm not denying there are other beautiful women in the world. I'm just saying usually when we read these lists from Maxim or wherever the other sources are, usually they're completely bogus. This is a list that I can absolutely defend with a certain amount of.
You're saying Blake Lively's the only hot chick in the world.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
No way!
Other girls on the list, our friend Olivia Munn was 48th on the list.
Hey!
January Jones was 30th on the list. Madman's Christina Hendricks was 58th on the list.
No.
Stop saying no when it comes to Christina Hendricks. She's beautiful. Leah Michelle from Glee, 91 on the list.
No.
Diana Agron from Glee, also on the list, 81. Jessica Pare was 10th on the list.
Yes. Mrs. Don Draper.
Yeah. Halle Berry was 85th.
85th?
Yeah.
Wow, she's super hot to be 85th.
Hey, where's Kim Kardashian?
Glendale.
I don't know. I don't have a whole list from me. I just got the highlights here. So
Glendale is the correct answer.
Kate Middleton was 61 on the list, by the way. Anyway, you can check it all out at askmen.com if you want to look at it. Here's the thing. I tried to get the whole list, but askmen.com, they're very... I hate these things. I hate when there's a list and you go to a website and you say... Click this arrow to see number 80. All right, now click the arrow again to see 79. I'm not clicking an arrow 99 times, askmen.com.
Yeah.
Just put it all on one page. Let me read it, and then let me click on the girls that I want to see. We don't make me jump through hoops to read your list.
Yeah, we do that on our site, too.
Oh, F us, then.
We do.
What does that do?
Page views. Page views.
Oh, page views.
Sell more advertising if you get more page views.
It is a cheap-ass gimmick.
Yes.
I agree.
And you should
100%
be strung up by your Nads.
Wow.
I don't want to be strung up by my nads.
Well, you should be because you're bilking your audience.
I agree.
You're forcing them to do little stunts for you so that you can somehow monetize that in some sort of cheap advertising
way.
That
is correct, yes.
Well, it's BS.
That is accurate.
I hate your website.
I don't disagree with you, Ralph, but the flip side of that is there is no Ask Men website, askmen.com, if they don't have advertising, and the way they get advertising is through page clicks. So that's how you're paying for it. That's why
but
you get to see that content for free.
My anger makes me less inclined to go back to that website again.
Okay.
I just went to Ask Men, and it is not what you're
saying.
No,
Ask Men. No, askmen.com.
Ask with a K.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Kevin. Axe Men.
There you go.
That's how you say it.
All right.
I'm out of time. I'm way over time.
Well, that was a long argument. Sorry.
I don't get a chance to talk about Christina Applegate. She's got a new baby. Congratulations, Christina. And Charlie Sheen, by the way, another addition to the story. Just keeps getting better.
Not in rehab.
Not in rehab. He's still at home, refusing to go. Wants to be treated at home.
Okay.
Also asked Casey Jordan, is that her name?
The porn star? Yes, yes, yes.
When she was at that 36-hour party he was having with the booze and the porn and the coke, asked her to babysit his kids.
There it is.
There he is. That's why he's Father of the Year. I'm sure his ex-wife must be so happy about his choices.
Hey, look, if he's paying...
Look, we can have a porn party, a porn house, and you can watch the kids. You can babysit my kids in the porn house.
If he's paying $30,000 an hour, I'll babysit the kids.
With part of us.
He's not paying that
part
to you.
Part of us. Just, I would have granola balls.
How does every drunk become Kevin?
I don't know.
Magical.
It's not right.
Birthdays, blah, 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 blah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It's a complicated relationship when your father owns the team, you work for them, and you're dating the coach. We will talk to Jeannie Buss from the Los Angeles Lakers organization, VP of Business Operations, about her new book, Laker Girl, coming up at about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show. But first, Superman, Kevin.
Yeah.
Being rebooted. The movie franchise, it's coming back.
He is Henry Cavill. Cavill. I don't know how you say his name. He's a British actor.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He's playing Superman. As you know, Christian Bale is Batman. Both right. British.
Yep, foreigners.
Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, British.
Yeah.
Foreigner.
Thor, Australian.
Hey, what's up with that? Didn't the Americans invent all of these superheroes?
I don't know.
Why can't we ever get any Americans to play them? I know there are a couple.
Eric Bana, Australian, was the Hulk.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, Ralph did the story after Henry Cavill's name was thrown out there as being the new Superman, and he said that there are some people who are very, very upset about the casting. And we asked producer Alex if she could line somebody up, and sure enough, we've got Carl Riggins on the line. He is from an organization called the AAA, but this is not the AAA that we know, is it, Carl?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is not AAA.
What is it?
It is Americans for an American America.
Okay.
We represent American interests. In America.
Okay.
And we find we have to fight these battles in public and in private in order to keep America American.
It sounds like you should be some sort of a Tea Party spinoff.
We are an apolitical organization. We are a believer in the American culture.
Right.
We are defenders of that culture.
Right. Okay.
And we will fight to our dying breath in order to keep America American.
Okay. Now, a Brit playing Superman.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, I mean, so...
So
what?
Well, why don't we just let a Brit run for president then? Why don't we just start paying in pounds instead of dollars?
Well, he's just an actor that's taking a role. I mean, it doesn't...
Is it just a role?
Yeah.
Or is it Superman?
Well, it is Superman.
Well, it's Superman, but I mean, don't the people who are making the movie have the right to cast whoever the actor is they think will do the job best?
Well, maybe they do if that role is... Queenie McBritish or some other character, but not of a Superman.
Now, Superman is not American, is he?
Oh, let me see. What does Superman fight for? Let me think. Let me see if I can remember. Let me see if I can recall back to my youth to see what Superman fought for. It was truth. I remember it was truth.
Right.
There was justice.
There was justice.
That was the second one. Anyone there in that room full of communists happen to remember what the third one was?
The American
way.
The American way.
The American way.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Not the British way. Not the Cambodian way.
Okay.
Not the Egyptian way.
Right.
The American way.
The American way. But Mr. Riggins, wasn't it just a happenstance of where his spacecraft happened to land that it ended up in Kansas? I mean, it could have been anywhere in the world. That's not the integral part of the story. The point is he's an alien. He's not even a born American.
Hey, ship happens, okay? Spaceship happens. And it landed in America.
Right.
Done deal. He's ours now. He's an American. If anyone represents him, he should be an American.
But, you know,
it's pretty simple to me. It's like math.
All right. But Christian Bale doesn't use his British accent, does he?
No. He puts on a fake accent. That's
okay.
What we need. Fake. More fakery. We need American jobs to be outsourced to Brits, and then them have to pretend to be Americans. If only there were American actors. Oh, why are there no American actors working in entertainment any longer? Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, but the truth is, you've seen the Dark Knight movies. Christian Bale is a fantastic Batman. You never once.
Oh, you wouldn't see it.
Okay, well, when you sit down,
I will not go see a foreigner take an American icon and put on a fake American accent and try to pull the wool over my American eyes. I will not participate.
Okay, I can't help you there. You just have to trust this, that he did a great job, and it never bothers you for one second in the theater that he's British. And I'm sure that's going to be the case with this young man who's playing Superman.
Are you sure? Are you sure
yes.
of that?
I'm sure he'll be fine.
If it turns out not to be the case, can I shoot you with buckshot in your testicles?
Yes,
no, you can shoot him.
Yes,
you can shoot. You can shoot Bean. That's correct.
It's the look. It's bad enough the character was created by Jews. Okay, it took me a while.
Okay. All right, let's not go there.
But
come on,
American,
Carl.
We need to keep that. At least they were American Jews.
All right, we're out of time. We got to go, Carl.
Well, that's great.
The American way.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Very excited. We've been looking forward to this interview for a week or so now. When we first saw it on the books, Jeannie Buss joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the Executive Vice President of Business Operations for your Los Angeles Lakers. Your new book is in stores now. It is called Laker Girl. Miss Buss, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Had a chance to look at a little bit of the book last night. I can't wait to get into it and read some more. But what a fascinating story. And I have to start by asking you this. You're already in your late teens or something when your dad buys the Lakers, right?
Thank goodness. I was a senior in high school. I can't imagine having my dad own the Forum and the Lakers and the NHL Kings while being a high school student. I would have had like 5,000 new friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's true.
Hey, Jeannie, can we come to the game with you?
So what was the plan before that? I mean, obviously he had made his mark in real estate, but I don't know if you would have ended up following him in that direction or if you would have done something completely different if basketball hadn't kind of fallen into your lap. Where were you headed, do you think?
Well, I mean, for me, it was always I wanted to work in a family business. And so when I was growing up, it was real estate development. So I always thought I would be in real estate. And it wasn't until, you know, he decided that he was able to not only afford season tickets for the teams, he was able to buy them. And the focus for the family business became sports. And so I switched, and it's been fun.
Now, you're the Executive Vice President of Business Operations. Your brother, Jim, is on the player side?
Yes, he oversees the basketball operations and works with Mitch and my dad and decides all the basketball things. So I kind of describe it like I'm on the business side, so I'm a revenue generator, so then the basketball department can spend it.
All right, so so here's my question. When your dad decides to hand the team off, it's going to be to you, right? Because you're much smarter than Jim.
No.
Is it going to be to you?
Well, I mean, this is a family business. And right. The way my dad has set it up is that we all have a role in the business. And you know, thankfully, we're all interested in kind of different things. And so, you know, we've found our spots that we excel in. And the plan is to keep the team and the family for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, sure. Why mix it up, Kevin? It sounds like it's working fine the way
I'm just saying.
It's going. All right, so you're interested in the business aspect of it. Were you ever a big sports or basketball fan? Did you ever fall in love with the game along the way also?
Well, I played basketball in high school, but I was terrible. I never made varsity. I always played on JV. But I loved the teamwork, the game of basketball is one of those sports that you don't need a lot of money to play, that you can pick it up anywhere. And so I did love basketball. I wasn't any good. But in my position, I really don't cross over with basketball. The only time that ever really happened is because I date the head coach. So right. Then I get more involved in the basketball side of stuff just because last night he was diagramming plays until midnight.
I was going to ask about that because, first of all, you got him to do the forward. I don't know how you did that. But second of all, how do you not bring work home when it's both of your work?
I mean, that's the problem when it is a family business. And I know there's a lot of people who can relate to that because there's a lot of people who work in family businesses that there isn't a break. And when things are good, it's great, but when things are going bad, it's kind of like you can't escape it. So, it comes with the good and the bad, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody to date somebody you work with because it can come with its own set of heartaches.
When that started, what did anyone send up flares and say, whoa, 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 this might not work out well?
When I told my dad when I first met Phil, believe me, I didn't, if someone showed me a picture of Phil Jackson, I wouldn't have said, oh, there's my dream boat, it wasn't until I met him in person that, I just fell hard for him. And, you know, when we realized that there was something between us, I said, look, I'm not interested in having an affair with you or keeping this a secret. If we're going to see each other, then it has to be with full disclosure in the organization, because I don't want to compromise anything. That's how much, you know, the Lakers mean to me. And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. So I sat down with my dad and let him know. And my dad, you know, he is my boss, but he's still my dad. And the first thing he said was, I've always thought you should date somebody older than you, because, you know, I hadn't been very successful in relationships, and he thought someone older than me would respect me and not be threatened by my position.
Oh, interesting. So he was fine with it then?
Yes, he was supportive. He's a great dad.
This is the voice of Jeannie Buss on the phone. We're talking to her on the Kevin and Bean Show about her new book that is in stores now. It is fascinating, called Laker Girl. I imagine that, you know, it's way too early to speculate. Everybody thinks, you know, everybody hopes that Coach Jackson stays forever because of what he's brought for the team. And he's beloved in the city of Los Angeles. But I would imagine you are a huge draw for him when the end of the season rolls around, whether they win or not. Because this is your job. You're not going anywhere. And if he retires, he's pretty much going to have to stick around, right?
Or is that true?
Well, I mean, this is definitely his last year coaching the Lakers. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, interesting.
And the thing is that I don't know. You know, I'm a business person. I need to, like, plan 12 months, 24 months. You know, that's what we do as business people. We forecast and plan.
Right.
And, he, you know, he's got that Zen thing going on.
That would drive me crazy.
It drives me crazy.
He's like, come on, say something.
He's like, look, I'm in this is what I've focused on this season. You know, the path will open up. The journey will become clear, blah, blah, blah.
What if the path opens up to Montana and that's where he wants to retire? Then what do you do?
No. I don't see him. You know, this is all my opinion. Only he can answer these questions. But I know this man, and I know he's not going to sit around and watch TV all day. You know, he's productive. He's going to want something that challenges him. Now, it could be, you know, coaching somewhere else. It could be like hosting a cooking show or writing another book. I mean, the guy, I don't know what he's going to do, and only he can answer that. But I think he wants to make it clear to this team that they've got such a good opportunity to possibly go for a three-peat that he doesn't want them to lose that focus. And you know, these chances are few and far between. And no matter what, even though the core of this team is basically the same as it's been for the last couple seasons, you know, this is the only time you guys get to be together, this particular group of guys.
Right.
So don't blow it.
Does he roll over in his sleep and go, oh, Kobe's shooting too much, Kobe's shooting too much. What's Powell doing? Why is he not rebounding?
That's what he was diagramming plays for me last night, and he's got like X's and O's, and I go, can you just put a name like next to, like, can instead of an X, can you just tell me a name so that I know who it is, because I don't recognize them by the big X.
Wow. Yeah.
What a fascinating story. I knew that this was going to happen, Ms. Buss. We were going to have you on, and we're going to be frustrated because we don't have enough time. I wish we had more. But I have to ask, when you're business operations for the Lakers, the impression that I get is this is one of the, certainly one of the five greatest sports franchises in the world. And I would imagine that your job is just turning stuff down that people want to do because people want to be a business with the Lakers. It doesn't seem like there's much you have to do to go out there and promote the brand or get the name out there, right?
Well, you know what? My dad, you know, he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame last summer, and rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
He has a formula. Our job is to continue to execute his vision. You know, he's not going anywhere. He's the visionary, and we just do all this stuff so he doesn't get bothered and continue to enjoy his life. And you know, I will just continue things the way they are. And you're right. I mean, this is one of the greatest brands in all of sports. And, you know, we're just not going to blow it, you know.
Yeah. All right. Last question for me then. Are you even, besides the fact that they share an arena, are the Clippers even on your radar? Do you even notice when they have a somewhat extraordinary year this year and players that people are talking about? Is that something that ever even think crosses your mind, or are you just completely focused on the Lakers and you don't even pay attention to the other teams?
Well, I mean, they're one of 29 other teams that want what the Lakers have, and that's to be champions. And so, you know, we take every team as, you know, a competitor, and you know, but we know what our job is, and we don't worry about keeping an eye on them. We just keep doing what we keep doing best.
See, that's why they're successful, Kevin. That's the lesson we haven't learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it
do
works.
Do what they do best.
Fascinating, fascinating book. A really great read. And we ought to give a shout out to your co-author, Steve Springer, who has written for the Los Angeles Times for many, many years and has also written some other great books, including great books on the Lakers. It's a great read. It is called Laker Girl, available everywhere. Jeannie Buss, thank you so much for your time on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me. 106.7
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 842.
You're watching KBC.
Are we watching KBC again? Is that what's going on here?
You're watching KBC.
Here's it's the Kevin and Bean Crap Channel. Kevin and Bean Crap.
You're watching KBC.
We like to call it our premium items.
Yes, exactly. Here's what's happening, if you weren't listening to us yesterday, is the Kevin and Bean offices are in the process of, I guess they're expanding the office. They're giving us about another 12 inches or something like that.
You got 3 square feet extra.
there's 10 members of the Kevin and Bean Morning Show family in one office, and now there'll be room for 11. So... basically, what's happening is they're trying to clean everything out. And Alex is insisting that we throw away all the promotional crap that we've accumulated over the past 10 years or so. And we've decided rather than just throw it away, we'll give it away to you, the fine Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067.
They're letting us use one of Carson Daly's walk-in closets.
That's right, yeah.
As our new office. We're very excited.
But not the restroom.
Yeah.
So what we have is a master list of items, and this is just all crap or premium items, whichever you prefer.
Kevin and Bean Crap, you're watching KBC.
But I have a question. Some of this stuff I can't believe has been in the office for 2, 5, in some cases 10 years. Why did we hang on to it if it was such poor quality?
Kevin...
You know what happens?
Oh, that's great. We have to hold on to that. We might use that someday.
Yeah. You know how it is where you like stash stuff and then you don't remember it's there. And then when you go back through and you have to literally go through everything, you find stuff and you go, what?
We might need that piggy bank on skis. Well, let's put that in the drawer there. Hold on to that. All right, Kevin.
All I know is the WWE Pimp Cup is still up for grabs. And how are we doing it here today, Ralph, on KBC? We're spinning the wheel and then just giving it to whatever it lands on. That's what we give the person on the phone, right?
You're watching KBC.
Yeah, right. They call in and we spin the wheel and they win the crap.
All right, let's start with Edward.
And it's all valued at well over nothing.
It really is valued at zero.
Yes.
Yes. All right, let's start with Edward. Hi, Edward.
Hey.
Welcome to the network.
Thank you. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. We're going to spin the wheel and see what you get.
Spin the wheel and see what you get. We've got, about a dozen things or so left in the crap closet to give away. So let's see what Edward ends up with. This morning.
Yesterday, no one hung up. They all took
all took the prizes. Mm-hmm. The shake weight!
The shake weight.
Oh, Edward gets the shake weight. Oh, Edward, fitness has never resembled manual gratification so much. Simply work the shake weight back and forth as quickly as possible, and not only will your biceps, triceps, and deltoids become firm and trim, but you'll be trained for a career in equine insemination. Congratulations.
That is not a good career.
Edward, what do you plan to do with the shake weight? Are you going to keep it for yourself or give it away as a gift?
Probably use it for myself.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're going to be very, very happy with the shake weight. We're so glad we could help you out here on KBC.
All right, let's go on to Tim. Hi, Tim.
Yeah.
Welcome to KBC.
Thank you.
Let's spin the wheel and see what you get. Last guy got a shake weight.
The Abominator.
Yeah.
This is good for Tim, I can tell.
Now, hold on a second. Hold on. Before you describe it, Tim sounds excited about the Abominator. Do you have any idea what it is?
Yeah, it's a perfect gift.
Ralph, is it a perfect gift?
The Abominator is a personal massager in the shape of our commander-in-chief, President Barack Obama. You can forget campaign promises, Tim. This politician delivers. It's not about hope and change anymore with this Obama, because you won't have to hope for an orgasm. It's guaranteed. And the only change you'll have to do is when you put in fresh batteries. It's a bailout plan for your vagina, Tim.
Or one in your life.
Tim, good luck with you and your vagina. I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you. Let's try it.
The Abominator. That's great.
See,
how did we even get a vibrator in the shape of Barack Obama?
I don't know. I have no idea. We only have time for one more item, unfortunately. So this is going to be Lindsay on line 3.
All right.
You're watching KBC.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to KBC.
You're watching KBC.
Just said that. All right. Here's the wheel.
See what Lindsay ends up with.
Don't be the pimp cup. I want that.
Oh, sweet. It's the VHS gift pack. Yes, it's 8-hour-long VHS, blank VHS tapes with a VHS tape head cleaner.
Nice.
For your VCR.
Is there a VHS player?
No, no. No. It's just 8 1-hour tapes and the head cleaner.
All right.
Oh, I'll tell you, Lindsay. Hello there, 1980s. Walk those leg warmers right over here and pick up your brand new VHS tapes. Throw some coal in the engine of your VCR and get ready to enjoy taping every episode of Mr. Belvedere. And don't worry if your tape heads get covered in that spilled can of Tab, because your new head cleaner is as tough as Sonny Crockett. Congratulations, Lindsay.
Oh, you are one lucky girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please enjoy. We'll have more items from KBC tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, keep listening for your chance to win tickets to be to the Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. That's all happening Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in India. We got four packs of tickets to give away. Your chance on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
I got a four pack right here under my T-shirt. Yeah.
It's not the same.
Oh. Less than a six pack.
It's also not sexy.
More than a two pack. Tupac's dead.
Oh, people are sending me emails fast and furiously about the Ask Men Top 99. It was released today on AskMen.com, the men's website. They release every year their list of the 99 most desirable women of the year, and they've done so for 2011. I think it's a little early in the year to pick your most desirable woman in 2011, really? But what do I know? So we were going through it. I got some more numbers for you that may surprise, shock. Megan Fox, I know her name came up last time we talked about her, and we talked about this list. Just wanted to let you know where she falls on the list of 99. 49 on 99.
All right. Seems pretty high, but okay. I mean, low. I don't know what's low. Doesn't seem high enough.
Right about the middle, pretty much. Here's your top 20. We talked about the top three last hour, which were Sofia Vergara at 3, Mila Kunis at 2, and then Blake Lively at number 1. Here are the top 20, okay? Number 4, Salida Ebanks.
Yeah.
Maybe you saw her on Celebrity Apprentice. She's a Victoria's Secret model.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Lovely. Miranda Kerr.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
5th on the list. Cheryl Cole is 6th on the list.
Oh, that's Mike's girl.
Yeah, she's very attractive. Scarlett Johansson was 7. Number 8, Katy Perry. Number 9, Anne Hathaway.
Nope.
Wow.
That's a tepid bell. I love her.
Look, she's adorable, but she doesn't radiate the heat like a lot of these other names you're mentioning. Not like the Cheryl Coles and the Scarlett Johansson.
So she's not a whore. Is that why?
No,
she's not a whore.
Yes.
No, it's not about being a whore. Classy, beautiful woman.
No, it. Yes.
Have you seen her those commercials for the Oscars? Where her and James Franco are in training to be. She's like doing curls with the Oscar and everything. It was pretty fun.
She's adorable and she's very sexy, but she's not Katy Perry, for God's sake. That's all I'm saying.
Where is Katy Perry, by the way?
8th. We just mentioned her.
We talked about her on this show.
Where's Mila Kunis?
Why isn't Blake Lively on the list?
Sorry. Next.
Sad about Uncle Kevin, isn't it? Can someone wheel him out into the sun?
Who are you and why are you talking to me?
How this food get in my mouth?
How dare you?
Jessica Pare is 10th.
Oh, I love her so much.
She's Megan on Mad Men. Natalie Portman, 11th.
Oh, yes.
Emmanuel Shariki, 12th.
Yes.
Jessica Alba, 13th.
Yes.
Kate Beckinsale, 14th.
There it is.
There you go.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, the new girl from the Transformers, 15th on
the list. I'd like to suggest that although I know we ring the bell when there's a hot chick, this is a lot of bell ringing.
It's a lot of bell.
And they're all pretty much going to deserve it.
Penelope Cruz is 16th.
Is this like hold your applause to the end? Is that what you're suggesting?
Maybe,
maybe just one ring for all of them? Okay. Sure.
Emma Watson is 17th. Marissa Miller, 18th.
Yeah.
Emma Watson above Marissa Miller.
Yeah, that's...
Now I got a problem.
Okay.
Hermione, really over Marissa Miller?
Yeah.
Really? Is she more desirable because she's loaded with lots of cash? Is that why?
I would imagine both of them are.
Bar Raffaelli is 19th.
Oh, that's a travesty.
And 20th is Candace Swanpole.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And all of them above Kim Kardashian, by the way.
Kim Kardashian, 40,
everyone you mentioned.
45th on the list.
45th. Come on. That's pretty bogus.
All right, Kardashian is quickly getting less and less attractive. Almost on a daily basis.
I disagree. I think she's hotter now than she's ever been.
It's like her beauty...
Was only skin deep?
No.
Okay.
Her beauty was like one of those... what's the timers with the sand in them?
Hourglass?
Hourglass. Like an hourglass. And just rapidly leaving the top there.
You think so? I think
she looks... more she does to herself, the more Botox she gets and the more lip injections and stuff she's getting, she's starting to look like a wax figure of Kim Kardashian.
There are pictures of her from last week where she's at some, event that look
animated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how...
That's not a good direction.
She looks CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel McAdams, 35th on the list, by the way. Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire.
She was hot.
She is 82nd on the list.
Wow.
So, it's hard, man. It's hard.
All right, a bell for
sure
everyone.
There it is.
I don't have time for my email now. I wish I did.
Well, that's too bad. Let's move on.
Next hour, I'll read you another email that I got from someone. That ends in a surprising way. Today's celebrity birthday is Sherman Hemsley. He was Mr. Jefferson on The Jeffersons. Yes, 73 years old today. Exene Cervenka.
Yeah.
The band X is 55. They're still together. Didn't they just recently do a concert or something?
Yep.
Like a reunion
show?
Yeah, yep. They're great. She's 55. Charlon Fenn of Twin Peaks is 46. Lisa Marie Presley's 43, as is Pauly Shore. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 42. Michael C. Hall from Dexter is 40. Big Boy from Outkast is 36. Lauren Conrad from The Hills turns 25 years old today. And Heather Morris, who plays Brittany, the teenage cheerleader on Glee, is actually 24, fellas. So feel free just to think all the dirty thoughts you want. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Thank you.
Yeah.